Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Apostle Allison J. Cross of Fire Rain Ministries, and I'm so excited today on sharing with you part one of The Mind. God bless.
Technology is wonderful, isn't it? Okay, so our scripture today we're going to be going to turn to or reference 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And it says, "Well, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after what? The flesh. So we walk in the flesh, but we don't war after. For the weapons of our warfare are not common, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, that's one thing I had to think about. How do I bring in every thought to the obedience of Christ? That's heavy. That's deep. Because when we think about the things that we can think about in the course of 1 minute, it could be treacherous. So we have to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. But when Paul warned the Corinthians not to be ignorant of the devil's wiles, the Greek word for wile means scheme, and it's from the same word used for the mind. In other words, Satan's primary assault occurs in our thought life. Have you ever noticed that we don't do anything until we think about it? I don't believe that thing where somebody said, "I just did it all of a sudden." No, you premeditated that. Nothing comes all of a sudden because our mind is what forms the thoughts. Amen? And so the mind is the main battlefield in spiritual warfare. Every attack that involves Satan starts in the mind. If you look at murder, look at envy, look at strife, look at jealousy. You think about those things. So those things are formed in our minds. And so we have to guard our minds. We have to guard our hearts. Amen? And so we want to talk about how, you know, what I'm talking about today is focus on the battle of the mind, because it is a battle. And we're going to talk about strategies of Satan that gives, we're going to give spiritual counters for what we want to do in our own minds. If you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6-7, it says, "For to be carnally minded is death." Now, when you think about that, God is about life and life more abundantly. But the scripture says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So that's telling us that if our minds are carnal, if we have carnal thoughts, that's death to us spiritually. But if, when we're spiritually minded, it's life and peace. And when you see a person that doesn't have peace in their lives, then you want to think, what is their mindset? It can't be spiritually minded, because according to the word, it says to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And so if we don't have peace in our lives, we need to go back and say, "God, what am I focusing on? What's going on in my mind, in my thought life?" Because our thought life literally controls the rest of us. Amen? And so because the carnal mind, going on to that scripture, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So what does Satan do? He literally wants to make our mind carnal. He wants to make our mind sinful and, you know, have fleshly desires. The world is us, and God wants us to be spiritually minded. That's something that we have to really think about. If you look in the Bible, also in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37-38, what does it say about the greatest commandment? Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and what? With all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. This is what the scriptures say. Love him with all of our mind. And Satan literally battles for our mind because it's closely tied to spirituality. It's closely tied to what comes out of our mouth and what's seated in our heart. The mind is. When you look at Matthew 15:18-19, it says, "But those things which proceeded out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts." Now, when we look at that, what's in our heart, what's in our mind, it's going to come out of our mouth, which it could cause destruction. Because the Bible says that life and death are in what? The power of the tongue. And if we allow things in our mind we begin to wrap our minds around foolishness and drama and things like that, it's going to come out of our mouth. And we know that our words have power. So if the enemy can get you to say something out of order, we've literally set things in motion that could destroy us, that could destroy people or situations. God may have something wonderful planned for us, but by the time we get to speaking about what we don't have, we won't have. Amen? When God says, you know, he wants to bless us, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings, and then we turn around and use our mouth to say, you know what, I am blessed. Look at what I don't have. And God has said, I've already given you that. But we begin to negate it by what we say. We have to be careful with that. Another thing is that Satan battles for the mind because the way you think is the way you act. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Satan knows that if he can control your mind, he can control your body, he can control your actions, and if left unchallenged, if left unchecked, he can control your spirit. In the Old Testament, fiery darts were used as weapons of warfare. They were hollow reeds filled with material, which would burn easily, and they were set on fire, they shot from bows, and they were excellent weapons against walled cities of that time because they could be shot over walls to ignite different roofs and houses and set whole villages on fire. And when you look at Ephesians 6:11-17, Paul discusses the spiritual battle with Satan. He speaks of fiery darts of the wicked. And the enemy, what does he do? The enemy literally continually hurls fiery darts at you in the spirit world. And most of these darts are aimed at our minds. Again, because if the enemy can get us to think a thought, or as apostles say, take a thought, meditate on that thought, he's got us. But the apostle Paul warns that we should not be soon shaken in mind in 2 Thessalonians 2:2. Now, when you look in the Greek, that translation shake literally means to agitate, disturb, or topple. And then it's also applied to destroy. So if the enemy can shake you, if he can get in your mind and shake your mind, he's going to agitate you, he's going to disturb you, he's going to topple you over and try to destroy you. This is what the enemy's plan is. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And the first place he attacks us is in our mind. And if you take hold of something and shake it, what do you have? You literally have control over what you're shaking. If I pick up this Bible and I shake this word around, I have control over what I'm shaking. And that's what the enemy wants to do to us. He wants to shake and exert control over our minds. But the devil is the liar. He will not have our minds because we have the mind of Christ. Amen? And it's no longer us that lives, but Christ that lives on the inside of us. Now, when you look at our minds are one of the most complex and least understood parts of the body because it's so complex. That's why I don't understand how people could believe in evolution and not creation. Man didn't make the mind. God made the mind. And if you look at, tell you this little story. When I was a teenager, I always wanted to be a brain surgeon. That was my thing. I wanted to be a brain surgeon because I was fascinated with how the mind works and how the brain is. So I went and took this college test before I entered college, and it came back clergy. And the counselor said, do you want to be a preacher? I was like, no, I want to be a brain surgeon. I had my mind made up what I wanted to do. And I said, I'll just take another test. They don't know what they're talking about. The second one came back clergy. I still didn't think about it because I knew what I wanted to do. But God had another plan. Now, if I had made up in my mind that I was going to do what I wanted to do, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today, and that's preaching the gospel. And so we have to make sure that, you know, like whatever we do it as unto the Lord, but we also seek his perfect will. Now, one of the things that the enemy would have us to do is question the authority of God. in the battlefield to keep your mind intact, the enemy is always going to have us try to question God and his work and what he's doing in us or doing in someone else. Look at what he did to Eve in the garden. Did God say, you know? And so when that questioning started, the first temptation of man started in the mind. It started with the strategy questioning the authority of God. And Satan said to Eve, yea, has God said? Did God really say that you would not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Questioning God and his word leads to doubt, unbelief, and skepticism. And that's one of the things that we want to be careful of. If we begin to doubt what God say or, you know, look at his word and not believe it as the ultimate truth, we'll begin to feel that God will know what he's talking about. I remember a long time ago, I think it was really before I even got saved, I was dating this little guy, and he was into the metaphysical religion, you know, whatever that is, it's metaphysical, whatever, the higher thinking type of thing. And he took the Bible, and I distinctly remember this. He took the Bible, and he showed me a passage of scripture. Now, this was in order to get my mind to think a certain way. He showed me a passage of scripture that says, I think it was when Moses went up on the mountain and saw God, and then he took me to another scripture that said, no man saw God and lived. So what he was trying to do, and at that time, I didn't know all about scripture, know that different parts of the scripture mean different things, because I didn't know. But he knew how to